Sitar recovers. And a break here for Riley McGree. It's on for Matthew Leckie. Matthew Leckie cuts back inside. One way, then the other. And he scores for Australia. Matthew Leckie embraces the moment for the Socceroos. Backus just needs to retain the ball. Moy. And there it is. Can you believe it? Written off too many times to remember. Australia has found a way. Found its way to the Elite 16 of world football. The country can keep on dreaming. Australia's jubilation and a slice of World Cup history. The Socceroos of 22 join the golden generation of 06.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, boy, what a morning it's been for sports fans. The Socceroos are through to the knockout phase of the World Cup. Who would have thought that? Only 2 weeks ago when France went wooshka four times past us and got us in the onion bag. But not Graham Arnold's men are through, and it has been some sort of morning here in Melbourne town. Can you imagine being in Doha, Qatar for this? The Aussies on site will be going off their absolute chops. That's going to be the feature event in the car today. Don't you worry about that, the Socceroos performance. In fact, we're getting straight to Simon Hill, the voice of football in this country, who I'm sure is going absolutely bananas on the back of the performance by the boys this morning. Simon, great to have you with us. How are you feeling?
A little bit stunned. Obviously, absolutely thrilled that they've got through. I'm not sure any of us expected it, really, but there they are, and I'm with about 300 Green and Gold Army members. I'm on tour with them in Doha, and we're about to hit a local bar and have a few beers to celebrate. So it should be quite the night, I think.
I can't imagine the energy in the room, Simon, from all the Green and Gold Army fans who are there. We've made the commitment to get across and support the lads and Arnie through the journey. And to see that goal go in from Matthew Leckie, that must have been absolutely something.
Well, it was, and even more so because we just learned, obviously we're keeping an eye on the other game between Tunisia and France, and you know, the scenario we all thought was that Australia needed a draw because we all expected France to beat Tunisia. So we just heard that Tunisia had scored literally 60 seconds beforehand. So, you know, we knew really that the Socceroos were going to have to win the game, or at least that's the way it seemed at that particular point. And then, bang, up pops Matt Leckie and scores an absolutely brilliant goal. And even though it was a bit tense at the end, they defended manfully again, two consecutive clean sheets, which is not an easy thing to do at a World Cup. Harry Suter, immense. Milos Steganek, immense. The whole team, just absolutely extraordinary. And I can't even put into words what this achievement means for football in Australia, because with the greatest respect to this squad, they're not the golden generation of 2006. But they're making history before our very eyes. And I'm delighted for Graham Arnold in particular, because he's had an awful lot of flack. The team has been, you know, written off on many occasions. A lot of people didn't even think we're going to make the World Cup. And here we are in the best 16 teams in the world. It's incredible. And loving the pictures coming back this way, by the way, from Fed Square in Melbourne. That's football passion. That's what this game means to everybody, including Australians.
Oh, they're going off their chops at the moment at Fed Square, have been all morning. It's quite remarkable. Whitey, good morning to you. I didn't even welcome you before, but it's been one of those mornings. And you're right about the qualification phase, and there was some grey area about whether or not we'd get there. And, you know, what's done is done, I suppose. But this group, there's something special about the quality of spirit in this group from what we can see through the screen. Being there, watching it up close, can you feel that?
Yeah, look, it's very much a collective. It's always been a collective, to be honest, the Socceroos. You know, they're a team that is drawn from all four corners of the globe. And when they get in the national team camp, they're all good friends. I don't think there are too many egos amongst this particular group. And I'll give you two specific examples of that. One is Martin Boyle, who, of course, was ruled out with injury cruelly just before the tournament started. He's not been sent home to work on his fitness or to get right. He stayed in camp with the squad. He's there on the pitch with the team after every single game. And another guy, Trent Sainsbury, who didn't make the squad, perhaps a bit controversially, he could have starred home and skulked. He's in the stands with us, along with his family, cheering the team on. So that shows you just, you know, what a bond these guys have. And, you know, maybe that's worth that extra 1% in the really critical moments. And we certainly had a few of those today, and definitely did against Tunisia a few days ago as well. And it's got them over the line. So it's absolutely fantastic. And, you know, now we await to see who we get in the round of 16. It could be Argentina. It could be Poland. It could be Saudi Arabia. Who cares? you know, who knows how far this team can go?
I think, Simon, the interesting part, trying to think about all the positive ramifications there's going to be from this. But even just from an A-League perspective, to have A-League players in this team not only playing but actually having a big impact on the World Cup, that has to validate the A-League in a lot of ways and hopefully give it some currency.
Well, it's funny you should mention that. I've just tweeted that, you know, saying one more thing. There were seven members of the starting lineup of the Socceroos tonight that began their careers in the A-League men's competition.
There you go.
Nine, if you include two that came off the bench. And Denmark had a team containing players from Manchester United, Barcelona and Tottenham Hotspur. So, you know, the local comp ain't that bad, is it? Let's be honest. And it gets a rough ride because people are used to watching the Premier League or the Serie A or La Liga. And I understand that. You know, people have heritage from all over the world. But our competition ain't half bad. And the players that we're producing are clearly capable of competing on a global stage with the very best of them. So, you know, obviously one of the hopes from, or the spin-offs of this qualification is that we're going to get people who perhaps take an interest in our local competition. I know it's about identity as well, and you've got to feel an attachment to a team. But there's certainly, you know, not much wrong with the quality of the competition that's being played in Australia locally.
Yeah, and I think that attachment, that connectivity is something the A-League can do better with general sport fans, but I think they've got a better chance at it now because of this validation. And I think, Simon, the other part of it too is, and I'm interested in your views on this, this is a sort of more a general view of football, is that when we lost to France, almost the blame was on the development, the grassroots. It's got to, you know, football in Australia's got to change. But for me, it felt like not so much that's an excuse. It's like here we go again, sort of thing. But when we actually get through, I think it actually carries more weight. Hey, this is what we can do when we haven't quite got things right. Imagine what we could do if we do get it right at the grassroots. I think you've got a better chance of getting it right now because of what's happened over the last couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, you're right. You know, all this stuff is interconnected. And of course, you know, a lot of people complain about, the development pathways are wrong and the coaching's not good enough and, you know, the league structure's not right. And all those things I completely agree with. There's one really good way to change that, and that is for people to invest their time and money into supporting the local game with their dollars. You know, the better the A-League is, the better the academies will be to bring through those players, the bigger the league will be, and the more opportunities and pathways there will be for both our male and female players. And too many people are content to sit on the sidelines and throw hand grenades at the game without, you know, constructively trying to help. Now, I'm not saying that they don't, you know, contribute at grassroots level, but you know, what our game needs really is to be fully professionalised at all levels. That's where we're lacking. I mean, you look at the team that we played on match day one, France, they have 46 professional clubs, a national academy that's one of the best in the world at Clairefontaine. All their clubs have absolute top-class facilities. You know, we still, as I said again on Twitter, some of our pro clubs still train on open fields and play on cricket ovals. You know, we own nothing as a sport. We get by on the smell of an oily rag. And it's got to change. And it just shows today, even with all those obstacles that we have placed in our way as a sport in Australia, we're still competing on the world stage. It's absolutely extraordinary. I can't overstate it. This is something akin to a minor miracle that has happened here in Qatar. And I hope it makes people sit up and take notice and try to help.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I hope it does. Because you're right, it is a minor miracle. And even watching the first 25 minutes this morning, I was thinking we might need a minor miracle, Simon, to get through from Denmark, who looked pretty strong, had a lot of chances early doors. I thought, oh, we're under the pump here, but we just found a way.
Well, we did, and, you know, that's becoming the hallmark of this Socceroos team. They found a way against Tunisia. In many ways, that game was more difficult than the one tonight. I was actually just, you know, purely from a professional football point of view, I was actually very disappointed with Denmark apart from that first 15 minutes. I thought they were dreadful. But that's to take nothing away from the Socceroos. They were super structured, super organised. Graham Arnold has got them clearly playing not just for each other, but for him as well. And, yeah, as I say, who knows where this team can go? Let's see what the round of 16 brings. But in the meantime, we'll enjoy tonight because we have a lot of, you know, down moments in football in Australia. It's a sport that gets a lot of brickbats. So occasionally when the bouquet is thrown, we've got to enjoy the moment, and we will tonight.
Yeah, catch it and run. And before we let you go, and I know you want to go and celebrate, and we do absolutely appreciate your time on the back of the performance this morning. We know there's lots going on over there from an Australian perspective. This Harry Soutar fella, I must admit, I'd never heard of him, Simon, and all of a sudden he's my favourite man on the planet. This comeback from injury, his ability to impact games, his competitiveness, his size, his strength, he's something else, this boy.
He is. And again, you can, you know, thank Graham Arnold for that because he went searching for players with Australian heritage. Harry is one of those. He's got an accent that's straight out of Glasgow rather than Gippsland. But his family were born in Australia. They're here all supporting him, by the way. They're staying in our hotel and loving every moment of it. And he's been a real find for Graham Arnold. He's, you know, defensive rock at the back. Obviously, his height helps with that. He's a threat on set pieces in an attacking sense as well. And he's very quickly become a part of the fabric of this Australian team. So it's absolutely terrific.
Well, we want to let you go and celebrate with the Green and Gold Army and enjoy what's been one of the great moments in Australian football and Australian sport overnight with the win over Denmark. Thank you very much for your time, Simon. Have a great rest of the tournament. Hopefully we touch base soon.
Pleasure, guys. Have a good night.
You're a good man. I reckon you might. Simon Hill with us over there in Doha with the Green and Gold Army.